Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of The Left Curve. Today, we have Agony Beard with us. We'd be speaking about the state of Solana, DeFi on Bitcoin L2s, SocialFi, and the ongoing meme coin mania. Now, before we get started, none of what we say is financial advice. We're just people on the internet. Please do your research before you peep into anything. So, moving on with introductions, Agony, would you like to introduce yourselves to our audience?
Yeah, good evening, folks. I'm also a professional left curver, or you can say I'm trying to be one. I have always focused a lot in research and data and statistics, and lately I've been trying to force myself through the left curve trenches. I'm a pre-med student, and I was doing physics one day before I stumbled across a post which ended up making me enter crypto. It's a funny story, and we'll keep it for some time, but yeah, I'm trying to make my way through these waters, and it's been fun, and it's been exciting, and it's really good that I'm here and I'm speaking in front of all of you. So yeah, I'm very excited to share my insights on stuff, which I feel like it's been quite an event in markets for the past 1-2 months, and it looks like people are completely deviating away from tech. So it's exciting.
Perfect. I love how you label the deviation of people from the tech. It's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and then you've got Bingo right here, who's also going to be keeping his cams off, not because he doesn't want to be doxxed, but because he woke up looking like a puff of fish.
Yeah, it's a tough morning. It's been busy because of the bull market. But hey, guys, my name is Bingo. I'm the CEO of Freda Block and the co-founder. I often pose myself as the intern primarily, which is why I was up all night. And again, it's the bull market, right? But super nice to meet you all. Thank you, Agony, for joining us on the show. I know it's an intro for you to the Radar Block ecosystem as well. So allow me to tell you a bit about us. So Radar Block is a Web3 native growth marketing agency that works with several clients, helping them grow their TVL, social awareness, brand metrics, achieve their KPIs, and more. So we've been working with some of the leading brands like Polygon, Avail, Biconomy, Aura, Yieldness, and more. Think about it, like from meme coins to LRTs to anything that's coming up in the market on the DeFi side, we've worked with all. We've worked with some leading gaming protocols like Avagotchi, Euphorica, and the list is ever growing. So we're a young team, have been in the market doing marketing for more than 2 years. I myself have like 5 years of business development and marketing experience, and so on and so forth. But so happy to have you on the show. I love that you jumped right into it, but I'll pass the ball back to Adonis to just do like a quick intro.
Hey guys, what's up? My name is Adonis. I'm the CEO at Radar Block. And yeah, I'm happy to be here to talk about Solana and DeFi on Bitcoin L2s. So I think we can actually jump right into the panel discussion, even though I have a lot of questions about you, Agony, because, you know, when you said that pre-med background, I was like, man, that's tough. That's tough juggling the ball. So perhaps maybe before we head into the questions, tell us a little bit more about how are you balancing this with like your pre-med studies and,
for me, it's been always about filtering my Twitter noise feed and trying to curate stuff away. And basically, I've tried to follow as many people as I can from one account, and from my old account, I have people I would like to follow in particular topics, and I've made lists and I've curated all the data for me. Basically, all my research is based on Twitter, which is like 80% of my research is based on Twitter, and then data and stats. And then who looks at data and stats at this and during these times? No one is looking at them. I've been trying to focus on how things are going viral, because that is how people have been making money recently, and especially about Bitcoin and roots and Bitcoin layer twos. It's been all about getting into those OG circles, trying to know more about the tech and vision, because it's such a raw space, it's such a primitive vision. But yeah, I really think it has potential as well in itself. So it's been all about curating things and trying to organize them in a bit better way.
But it sounds like I'm listening to myself, to be very honest, because one of the things I did at the beginning of the bull market was I unfollowed everyone. And then I followed only people who had a higher hit rate, in my honest opinion, than like 50%. And that's how I ended up with a very curated feed. And I think I'm really happy I did that, because even though a lot of popular Twitter profiles are not in my Twitter, I don't follow them. So I don't necessarily keep up with CT drama as well as I used to. But I have better insights into what coins are going to pop off next, or starting to pop off in some sense. Yeah, coming to the question, since you mentioned, like, you know, Bitcoin L2s as well, and I actually wanted to draw your attention towards Solana first, right? So you big on memes, and Solana is arguably the meme coin chain at this point of time, right? So first of all, can you explain a little bit about Solana? Because a lot of people who might be listening to this, we are recording these for plebs, right? Plebs that we were, plebs that we secretly still are, right? You coming to the market, and they're driving straight into Ethereum. The gas fees is too high. Solana is more user-friendly. So maybe you can start off with like a brief explanation of Solana from your understanding, and then talk about what projects you're excited by.
Solana is basically, if I say in a very unfiltered sense and in a very raw sense, Solana should be the people's chain. It is the people's chain, in my opinion, because where I come from here in India, I don't think people will pay around even a dollar for gas fees per transaction, because it's somewhere around 80 rupees in here, right? And that's why Matic grew in popularity very well in India, because gas fees were as low as 5 rupees per transaction, and sometime even fell below one rupee per transaction. It's all about cost efficiency here in India. People are very very cautious about these things. And Ethereum getting as high as $30 to $40 per transaction during peak on chain, and we are seeing layer twos as well, like Arbitrum and Optimism also going casually above $5, $6 in gas fees per transaction. Considering countries like maybe Vietnam, maybe Nepal, maybe India, and then you can also argue about countries where dollar is more popularized, but still people who do cost efficiencies and everything. I think Solana is a far better platform for them, because you know, you just go there, you won't even feel you paid any kind of gas and transaction fees. It feels like, oh, I was trading on a DEX and this was just the platform fees. And basically it's all about the slippage, like you just a 1 or 2% slippage, and that's all which has been deducted. The gas fees is negligible at this point. Usability and smoother onboarding is also a factor in which I think, I'm not saying Solana is the end game in that, but Solana is considerably ahead of Ethereum, I would say something like that, in that easier onboarding and usability thing. It's more about how much of a protocol level developments have been going on. We have seen that Solana has underwent major protocol level developments for the past year and two in but Ethereum has only Ethereum only had the merge, and after that it's been really silent, like it was and like it has always been. It's more about how individual DeFi applications are evolving on Ethereum, and some good projects, some millennium projects like maybe Chainlink, or maybe some EVMs like AVAX, or some layer twos like Base, and these are popping up, but it's nothing like they're trying to upgrade on the base level. It's just coming from a person who's been in space for only 1.5 years. I'm very sorry if I am sounding naive right now, but regarding Solana and everything, I think it's considerably ahead, especially in monolithic approach, which is like have one chain, you don't need layer twos, you don't need anything else. And also Solana is far more easily usable. You don't really need account abstraction on Solana. They're trying to do it. Some protocols are making it, and it will literally feel like something else. I haven't really tested anything, but you don't really need account abstraction. All you need is a backpack wallet or maybe a phantom wallet, whatever you prefer. And you can just, start doing things. And Solana is the people's chain, because what is up with Solana? Meme coin season is up with Solana, right? And meme coins are basically betting on virality of individual concepts or ideas or maybe gifts or pictures or whatever, and it's all about betting on how good people will react to these things, how good market will respond to it. So it's more about people's chain having literal people gambling or their way off. Because, you know, I was not here past cycle, but as far as I have heard from people's experience and everything, all they said was like, Ethereum is super expensive during peak times. And it's not like that everyone just wants to come here and research tech. Everyone knows that after a year, all of this is going to shambles anyways. So let's try and take risks with meme coins because, you know, at least they are selling dreams to us. So it's all about like falling completely in peace for Solana. And if we talk about on-chain data and statistics of everything, Solana has grown to like bull market levels. The active on-chain wallets are back at 35 million, 36 million. We have seen a tremendous growth in TVL. From past year to this year, we are up. I think past year we were like at 300 million in TVL, and now it's above 4 billion. Now we are seeing Solana DEXs constantly move across top 5 DEXs in the ecosystem, and they're trying to push their way in top 3. And it's all about, you know, at this point, it's all about giving a statement, we can say, in a funny way. But yeah, Solana is proving itself, and it has been an uphill battle for it. But now things are looking far more clearer than they were before. It's becoming far more consensus.
I think I love the analogy that you posed, is like it's the people's chain, right? And I would love to touch base on two of those analogies. One is the people's chain, and the second one is the meme coin one, right? I love the fact that you are aware and you know that the meme coin narrative is the narrative of dreams, and actually the hopium that we're selling to the market, that okay, even if this all goes to zero, right, this is the cycle that will make you a millionaire, which is the onboarding arc of Web3 to a lot of retail people. And actually in line with why we call it the Left Curve podcast, right? But I think in terms of, you know, calling Solana the people's chain, I think you mentioned a point where you said that a lot of onboarding has been because like it has been silent from Ethereum side. Would you say like shipping more faster from a developer perspective has been one of the reasons that Solana has been able to get like a lot of mindshare? And I would love for you to like go into what you feel about community building, because the early days of Matic, it had a lot of traction in India as well, right? So I would love to understand how you compare the community building side as an EVM L2 to Solana, which is like a very culture and native audience that is ready to die for it in its own way. So yeah, would love to get your thoughts on that.
I don't have those many reasons for it, but I do have one major reason, and that is Solana's programming language, which is Rust. And I think it's far more usable among people who are coming new to Web3. So builders and builders' vision is what, you know, really defines the spectrum in which a chain is going to play. So let's say if Web2 builders are coming up, and even 10 or 20% of total builders coming on Solana or Web2, then automatically there are talks going on about how to make NFTs more viable, how to make more usable dApps for people who will use it in real life, how to make it as a payments chain, how to do protocol level upgrades so it becomes a payments chain or it becomes a merchant chain or whatever. But on Ethereum, it's more about, as you said, Web3 native people and everything trying to evolve. I think both are evolving in different parallels. You can't really say that the path followed by Ethereum. When we come to BTC layer 2s, I have a very good argument about it as well. It's been frustrating, but this is a reality. And in with Solana, I think Rust has onboarded far more Web2 developers, and this is why they do have some ideas popping off from them. Like there is a dApp called Teleport XYZ. They are making basically a decentralized Uber framework on Solana, and then you have Drip, and they are necessarily a SocialFi NFT platform, but and then you have Pump.Fun. I would also categorically say it's a SocialFi only at this point because, you know, people are bidding on ideas as well. And let's not talk about the rugs there. It's just, I know it's quite frustrating as well. But it's all about how things are picking up. Like in Ethereum's early days, things were picking up through Aave, Uniswap, and ENS, and it was all foundational on-chain DeFi. But on Solana, things have started from retail and virality and concepts of left curving and concepts of getting more people and concepts of getting them more and more fun things to use, maybe more practical things in real life that they can use. But on Ethereum, it's more like, you know, get them on chain and stuff. And I feel Ethereum as a base chain, I'm not talking about layer twos right now, but Ethereum as a base chain, I think it will be more of a viable solution for hedge funds which will come to crypto and will try to tokenize things because, you know, they want trust and they want, you know, viability more than onboarding or gas fees. I mean, if a hedge fund comes in, they won't care if they are paying $100 of gas fees trying to move $1 million across the chain. What they really need is a battle-tested ecosystem, and that is Ethereum base layer. When we talk about layer twos, I think base has a very good appeal because of how Coinbase can support it and their development team and all the intelligence they have from the business side and everything. But still, market has proven this again and again because as we are able to see, like volumes on Optimism are dropping, volumes on Arbitrum are dropping. People are moving to Blast as well for a little bit. It's all about SocialFi. Base also really had that big influx of users on Frentech, and that was SocialFi. SocialFi is the only thing which is going on for these top layer twos for now. And I'm not really seeing any appeal from the DeGen side. Like, if like in the later stages of bull, if Barber down my street asks me about crypto and how he wants to come in, I will maybe recommend him buying some Michi and Whiff rather than, you know, take some Ethereum and deposit on Aave, get a loan and buy some Chainlink. I'm not gonna say this to him. And he's also not gonna do all of that. Basically, people which are normal people, it's far too complex, and that is why Ethereum is trying so hard at account abstraction, and I think that's a very detrimental piece which will define if they will come back to retail prominence or not, in my opinion. But yeah.
You know, you mentioned Bitcoin L2s in there. You said you had like a really good point about it. And it's funny because
Yeah.
my like next question was going to be about Bitcoin L2s, which was like, what are like some of your favorite narratives or projects in the Bitcoin ecosystem as such? Because, you know, we are seeing the Ruins protocol play out. Before that, we saw the Ordinals play out and BRC20s were off the rails.
It's a very beautiful ecosystem, sir, and it really deserves a discussion on its own. And I think it's a very untapped sector right now. And I've made some sarcastic posts on Twitter, and I was comparing overall market caps in AI and RWAs and Ordinals. And I wrote like, if you are in Ordinals, you should just pivot to AI and RWA. Just you know, in a 25 billion worth AI and a 7 billion worth RWA is far better of a risk to return than a 3 billion worth of an whole Ordinals ecosystem. And people were like, yeah, you're right, and you're right, and they didn't get my sarcasm. This means we are still early on it. It was definitely a sarcasm. And the thing is, people are not able to really see why and how this vision is big, and it deserves a lot of attention. And it deserves a lot of time on its own as a discussion, in my opinion, with everything in BTC.
I think I'll not let you guys go forward without talking about some of the incidents as of late on the BTC ecosystem on the gas side. Like, people have been paying like hefty amounts when it comes to, you know, minting runes and like all the Satoshi Nakamoto stuff. In some cases, even worth like $500 worth of gas. I think like long ago when I was using the BRC ecosystem, it was my first time when I used the BDC network, and I paid like $93 gas for one transaction for buying pizza. So I would love to get your thoughts, because I think it's a good contrast to have as we shift from the conversation from Solana to Matic to Ethereum to runes or ordinals or the BDC layer 2 ecosystem. I would love to understand how you guys perceive gas there and the whole onboarding experience.
Okay, so the thing is, first of all, the reason was because runes are completely on-chain, right? And everything happens on-chain, so they are fundamentally a little bit more expensive than BRC, but they have a low on-chain footprint, so it all balances out on the tech side. But yeah, it's a bit more expensive to us on the user side. But the thing is, I really like analogy here. We are basically comparing Apple iPhone with mid-range OnePlus phones, if we are talking about gas fees on BTC and Ethereum. And I would say that iPhone is not necessarily selling tech at this point. It's basically selling exclusivity, right? And Ethereum is, so like a OnePlus mid-range phone, Ethereum is not going to be like the gold standard for NFTs, or to be a homage to something, or having some kind of really big significance in assets that you are holding, right? Ethereum is always, it has always been trying to be the retail chain, and that's what they are saying, and they are trying to strive towards it. So Bitcoin has never, the vision from BTC side is not like they want to be a retail onboarding chain. They are not going towards onboarding the next 100,000 people in a month or like that. They're not doing that. What they're doing is basically trying to get that capital, which is locked, people have 200, 300 Bitcoin since early days in 2012, 2013. There are mega whales, which we can say like a whale holds 300 BTC or maybe 100 BTC. These whales have had nothing to do with their Bitcoin for necessarily over 8 years, except for holding and seeing a whole thing evolve in front of their eyes. And it would have been super difficult to hold on to that stack. So salute to anyone who has more than 100 or 200 BTC. But the thing is, it's all about where the appeal is. And BTC's ecosystem appeal is towards getting that capital unlocked, and in speculation is basically that. Speculation is the driving factor for every reasoning in markets, and speculation is that. But on Ethereum side, it's more about, yeah, we are a retail chain. We are focusing on getting people onboarded. We are focusing on becoming far more usable for people. We are trying to be a normal life chain. We are trying to introduce layer 2. So, you know, our primitive flaws can be solved for people a bit. But BTC is not about that. So it's about, like, this is the mother of all chains. If you are holding an asset here, it automatically gets a little bit of a, you know, premium, because it's Bitcoin you're holding your NFTs on, right? A very good example would be like on Ethereum. It's like, if you're holding an NFT, it feels like I wrote something on a DVD or CD with a CD marker, right? But on Ordinals, it's basically a .json file in it, so it's inscribed on it. So it's a gold bar which has an inscription of, like, it's 1 gram or whatever you want to say. It feels different. It's like the appeal is completely different. And regarding gas fees and everything, the thing is, the chain really gets easily congested. And I have experienced 2 hours of waiting time just to transfer my assets from this wallet to that wallet, so I can completely relate with you. And I have also paid 120, 130 gas fees. It's at this point, it's more about when you are paying 500 or 600, it's more about tipping miners. So my transaction goes through a bit early and something like that. But basically the thing is, it's more about the appeal of things. and not linearly comparing stuff, like, you know, on the same level, because it is not on the same level.
I think I love the extensive analogies and the thesis that you've built, because I think it's very relevant. And I love the point actually about, you know, how you said there has been so much Bitcoin that has been sitting idle. And I think a lot of us, at least in DeFi, talk about capital efficiency now and then, right? And from that perspective, it seems only fitting that, hey, it was bound to happen that someone will build something that will actually utilize all this BTC we're sitting on top of, right? And it has been like, it has been failed. It has come like now and then. It has been around for a while now. But I think it's a good time for the BTC ecosystem in general. But at the same time, I would still want to understand, how do you see a lot of these developments, even from a user experience side? Like, I have to, like, shout this out of my lungs that I tried bridging from EVM to Bitcoin, and it was shady. It felt shady. I used Fix Float, and I have to say, like, I was so surprised. I was like, huh, I have to send this here, and the Fix Float UI is so bad. But I would love to understand, like, do you do it usually via centralized exchanges? How do you take your money on BTC ecosystem to Unisat or some of the other wallets? I think that's something any pleb would love to hear, right?
I'm actually using the Magic Eden wallet, and it's also very useful for farming the airdrop as well, because, you know, why not? And the thing is, let's talk about the user experience and everything. When we say that the only roadblock in this whole BTC's vision is user experience, we are simply saying that the OG developers, which are in crypto for like 10 to 8 years, who bootstrapped something from scratch, like since 2023, they bootstrapped something from scratch, they did an experiment, it went through, then they made all the documents, and then they did all the technical stuff, then they built on it, like sequencers came up, more and more SDKs came up, more dApps came up on the ecosystem, community was bootstrapped, ordinals came up, BRC came up, exchanges saw the potential, VCs came up. But let's simply go to the dev side, only the developers. So we are making a point that developers who have a 12-year experience, and then they made an experiment and they succeeded, right? And they made all of these dApps and everything, and then they bootstrapped a cult community within a year. We are saying that they cannot solve UX within another year. Like, we are betting on them not able to ship in the next 10 months. Are you really going to bet against those people that they won't be able to ship against 10 months? I am not going to bet against those people that they won't be able to ship. And BRC has generated a lot of fees for miners as well, right? And all these big players who are behind the scenes, who are in shadows, they are not in CT drama. You don't see them. They really are incentivized to keep this all going through, and they want to fund this innovation because it is like they are going to get so much fees out of it. They are extremely incentivized to really push this space forward. So they have the funds necessary. They have the backend support necessary. And then the developers are actually really smart. So they have those brains as well. And I think these three are the major factors when we consider execution risk about anything. And this is all solved in my eyes. And when you say that user experience has been bad, runes were not the end game, right? They were a stepping stone towards it. Like, you know, envision a staircase leading up to somewhere. We are on step 3 or 2 here. It's like, everyone wants things being built up in a month or so, but the ecosystem has been here for only about how much? Like 1.5 years, BRC ecosystem, and it all necessarily picked up pace in the latest, in like first half of 2023. Before, it was majorly experiments, people didn't know, and some guys lost their BTC and they were laughing. But seriously, when things started to happen, it was maybe around April. And then when you consider the everything and how things have been shipping and where this ship is moving, right? The direction really tells you lots of stories sometimes when things are not being already present, but they are solving UX, they are solving UI. I will talk extensively about how these guys are really approaching that, but the thing is, I am not going to bet against these people who are really smart that they won't be able to ship a good UI and good onboarding in within 6 months. It was more about building the tech which they are working on, and now it's more about building more and more efficiency in the infrastructure side, in the tooling side, and we'll come to UI. We will come to UI. It's not like you can just you just don't bake a cake and simply go on for topping. You need some bread and whatnot. I'm not a cake specialist, and this was a very bad example, but whatever it is, I think my point becomes a bit more clear with this. So yeah, that's my view. I'm not going to bet against these people, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can see that, of course, the developments have been pretty rapid. It's just that the general onboarding point for a lot of people in DeFi has been quite confusing. Like, okay, where do I enter? The easiest one so far, from
an account texted me that, bro, I'm up 10x on this. How do I sell it? It was a 15k followers account. Yeah, this is a true story. And I was like, I'm not going to tell you because if you don't cheat, then it's going to go up against as well. Then so it basically works on my favor. Why am I even trying to solve it? But yeah, if we do really want to solve it, then let them solve it. But yeah, you're right.
Bro, how do I sell? I will not tell you.
I'm not telling you.
That's one way to preserve your bags, isn't it?
I think I'm loving it.
well, that's one way to repel jeets, you know. And you know, a normal Arbitrum influencer can't come on BTC and be like, "Hey, I'm selling a 10x." Nah, not here.
Yeah. I do want to understand though, like you know, you've talked about you know, Solana meme coins in general. You've talked about the Bitcoin ecosystem. You've talked about, you know, using the Magic Eden wallet for farming the airdrop, and also, you know, interacting easily with the Bitcoin ecosystem. So then, whether next time we are trying to farm any airdrops or looking to BRCs, might be worth it to check out the Magic Eden wallet. But I wanted to, you know, kind of move towards the end. And this is a question I ask people, which is that, you know, you've been around here for 1.5 years in your own words, right? And you've had the chance to interact with a lot of accounts, with a lot of people in your comments as well. What lessons would you say you have learned along the way? Some alpha for our listeners, you know, considering that we knew
first one being is be humble, right? Second one being is that it's a crazy space. So it's not like anyone is the end of be all of knowledge in here. Any person with any kind of a crazy idea or a theory can make a lot of sense, and sometimes far more sensible people won't make sense. No one has a 100% hit rate to the downside or to the upside. I would say no one is 100% correct or wrong. It's a gray area, basically. It's never black or white anywhere. Thirdly, it's more about, you know, in crypto, it's all about not trying to really stay rigid with one thing which you have understood, and then trying to really upgrade your views and upgrade yourself along with the markets, see how things are evolving and what they are evolving into, and trying to, you know, assumption is a very big important factor in crypto. You have to keep assuming that, yeah, things will fall in place, things will fall in place. Be wrong. I don't consider being wrong in here something bad, but be wrong with some kind of a logic. Like, I went into this because I thought this could happen, but my assumption went wrong because of this. So I'm maintaining a journal for myself. Whenever I make a mistake or whenever I succeed in something, I note these things down. And I also note what happens every day in that journal. So when the next bear market comes, I don't really need to rely on CT's mood swings to understand how it is all unfolding. I can just look at my journal and I will be like, yeah, okay, things evolve like this and that. It's experience matters here more than anything. And as we have seen, it was quite surprising, but in earlier stages of 2023, we were all about Ethereum's on-chain, right? And then we are about AI, and AI is a very necessary thing as well. Like in crypto, it makes a lot of sense with AI. Like there are some concepts, maybe FHE, and then decentralized training of AI modules, and then also data availability, and then also GPU resources. These things do make sense, but they have stopped catching bits. They're not catching bits anymore. And since beginning of this year, it's all about meme coins. It's all about, it's been a little bit of a DeFi 3.0 also came into scene with Pendle and Ethena. But the thing is, like, people who were holding the Make It portfolio from 2023 are wrecked, because, like, what was the Make It portfolio in 2023? It was Unibot, Rollbit, and Ox. They were very good. They did a phenomenal performance for the next 2 months, but they are done now.
I mean, you didn't have to. I mean, you didn't have to attack us like that.
No. I'm very sorry. I'm not saying to a specific individual or person, but it's more like, you know, try adapting, try adjusting your risks. That's the most important thing. Nothing is going to last forever in here. This is a very fast moving space. It moves very fast. It you have to come out of your comfort zone. You have to keep questioning yourself at every checkpoint. You have to keep your theories in check. It's like maybe your thesis is relevant for this month and the month next to it, but then it becomes completely irrelevant and you have to quickly adapt and shift, right? Size up when no one is sizing up it at a start of a trend with major risk. Don't wait for the trend to prove that, yeah, it is a viable trend. Then it's like the 60% of that trend is already over, and then you will be competing with PvP on-chain with people try to salvage your way up with gains. So be a little risky, be a little out of, like, think out of the box. Dedicate 20-30% of your portfolio to doing things which you believe from your own heart, like, yeah, this could work. My assumption could work in here. This does make sense to me. And yeah, basically. But I got a lot of hate when I was... I made a tweet in August that if in 2023, that if you are a ETH maxi, it was peak on-chain season at that time. If you are an ETH maxi, it's a great time to flip bias and be a soul maxi, try farming airdrops, try looking at communities and whatnot. And I received a lot of hate for it. A lot. And I was in some Indian spaces and people were comparing, should I buy Arbitrum or should I buy Optimism? And I went like, and I was like, why are you not bidding Solana? But all they did was laugh at me and whatnot. But and right now it's all about ordinals for me in a similar stance. So yeah, just keep adapting. Be water, my friend, as said. It really helps.
I really love the idea. I think, I don't know who was the one, maybe it was Sasaka who tweeted this out, or one of GCR's older tweets, where he said that the most common mistakes a lot of investors do is that they're really, really risk averse at the start of the trend and really, really risk prone towards the end of it, whereas it should be the complete opposite. But I think I really enjoyed this conversation simply because of how passionate you were in explaining your stances. Definitely something that, you know, felt fresh, felt raw, and above everything, I think it felt genuine and real. So yeah. I did want to, like, you know, because I asked this question to all of the guests that come here, who is the one Web3 chad you would want us to bring to the Left Curve podcast?
It would be Hitesh Malviya.
Oh yeah, Lingo.
You have to tell him that, Mr. Hitesh, you have to take out time for us. We met him in Dubai, had a great conversation. He's the busy bee in all of us, so we'll chase him better. But I think I'll not let you go beyond here. without answering, like, I loved your approach on the thesis-based investing and having that logic and actually being wrong as well. Being adaptable, yeah. Being lean, it's name of the game in crypto, right? But I would love to understand, which is one of the ecosystems, apart from the ones we discussed, like BTC Layer 2s or the whole new BTC ecosystem with runes, what else are you eyeing for? And what is like a sector you're bullish on moving forward into end of Q2, Q3 for this cycle?
I've had some contrarian takes and whatnot, but I really think memes are not done. And people are simply saying they're done, and it fuels them for even higher. I even tweeted that, please keep mid-curving for sake of my meme bags. So yeah, let them keep mid-curving. It's far more better that way. But I think we have at least one major meme impulse. It's meme coin season is not done until Whiff and Pepe both flip Shiba. And one of them at least flip past Shiba's all-time high. So, and there's a good chance that we will be dumping our Pepe bags on A16Z CTO at 40, 50 billion. There's a very good chance that I'll be dumping my 50 billion Pepe bags on that guy. A16Z CTO, and why do I specifically name him is because he made a statement that meme coins are not good for a space. They don't provide any kind of seriousness to space. They are not taking anything positive and doing anything or whatnot. Secondly, I'm really bullish on as we said, BTC Layer 2s. My main bets will be Botanix Labs and CKB. And I'm damn certain Nervos Network is a BTC Layer 2, which most of the people like don't know, but they are. And RGB++ is a really good alpha, which I think Westside CT is really sleeping on, and it should get discovered. But I don't really think we need to look for contrarian bets. Ordinals and Beams are already good contrarian bets at this point. They are being mid-curved to death right now. And I'm not really going to mid-curve a 3 billion sector which has a potential to cross 100 billion. And I'm talking about ordinals right now. They do have a potential to cross. I'm for now, I'm betting on leaders, and for now, I'm betting on what market has shown to us. And I think memes and ordinals are the ones which will have the biggest contrarian bets and risk to return adjusted rates available for the next maybe even 4 or 5 months. But yeah, memes are not going to stop until and unless there is a cat coin which is worth 10 billion at least. There is going to be some cat coin.
I think I love what you just said, and I think it was Adonis who has been saying it for the longest time. Bet on runners, runners always run. So I think it has been like our go-to motto as well. And we're personally excited about Pepe hitting new highs because, yes, we're all invested and none of this is financial advice. But I think I'd like to end it on a note where I would love to hear from you, right, Agony, that what is coming up on your side? What are some of the things anyone who's listening to this should look out for? And any alpha that you can share?
Well, my account is professionally going to start bull posting more about ordinals, and I'm properly going to write some threads about how and why I think this is going to really go big and all about projects and everything. And ordinals and runes have always been about culture, provenance, and meme coins. There are no DeFi protocols on there. It's more of a cultural appeal, more of a provenance appeal. And I think that. And then, with memes, there are a lot of new primitives, like TikTok meta is something which I think is going to stay because, people can really relate to all the positive things which are going viral on TikTok, and then they can, okay, let me search on DexCleaner, and there you go, you do have a meme. Petro is a good one, a very good example for this. And then, it's a very great example for this. Then Hammy, Sad Hamster is also a very great example for this. So, yeah, basically look for things which make people laugh on TikTok and they are spreading positive ideas, right? We are rather not talking about very serious, but on a very light note, positive ideas, what they are making people laugh. something which they won't grow sick of, like, you know, like scrolling, and every time like they see something for 10, 15 times and they are like, yeah, I'm now bored of it. Like, there has to be some kind of a meme. Like, every time a person just comes across it, they are like for Pedro, every time you come across it, or a child comes across it, it's like, oh, it's Pedro. So it has that vibe. But
it makes,
yeah, TikTok, yeah. TikTok Meta, I think, will evolve into something very good. I don't know if we have the winners yet, or maybe we do. I don't know about it, but that thing is definitely something which, as a primitive, is something to look out for. Cats as well is a very good primitive to look out for, in my opinion. And yeah, like betting on leaders, betting on this is not financial advice, but you know, the top cat is PopCat. And then you have and then there is one more, a little bit of a nuance. Like, adaptable memes are going really good, I noticed. Like, best examples are Wiff. Just put a hat on a dog, or maybe just put an OG hat, and you know, it's Wiff hat, the meme goes through. And then Mitchy is really customizable. You can just dress up Mitchy with any you know, costume and everything. And then we have Monk, like, the anyone can be cutting that monkey's hair. So these are adaptable memes which have a lot of room to meme basically anything, are also something really good, in my opinion. So, like, yeah, these will be some things.
Damn, man, I think we got like a lot of tickers to look at now. I think I really enjoyed the show because it started off with, like, you know, more quote-unquote serious conversations around, like, the viability of Solana and the viability of BTC, but it ended at my favorite topics, which is meme coin tickers at the end of the day. But, you know, if you loved the show, you know, please do give us a follow at TraderBlock, and our individual accounts are 0xadon Cyril and @lingono, and make sure you follow Agony as well at AgonyBeard. This is all for this one. So, ladies and gentlemen, please have a good one. Cheers.
Thank you, Agony, and have a great day, bro.